All right, let's look in Proverbs 12 this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We ask you to open our eyes to the scripture. And I pray, God, you'd enlighten our hearts. You would help us to walk according to your will, according to the way that you want us to walk. Pray you'd, give us direction, instruction. I pray, God, that you would just do a work in our hearts that would, allow us to love you more and allow us to serve you more and love those for whom you died more. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's start reading in verse number 6. Let's start reading right there. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. All right, back up in verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, this is connected to the not just the words that are coming out of your mouth, but the words that are coming out of your mouth are connected to your heart. And so that's what this verse is talking about. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. So normally you lie in wait for somebody's blood, that's called an ambush. You get behind a tree somewhere and you wait it out till they get up to the place where you can jump out and get the advantage on them. Well, this is not talking about hiding behind a tree and being very quiet and very still and not letting nobody know what you're up to. This is about opening your mouth and letting people know what you're up to. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. And so if you pay close attention to what a man's saying, you might discover an ambush somewhere. Now, you say, you've heard the saying, you've heard the saying, many a truth is said in jest. That might be true. Amen. Well, that's exactly what this verse is talking about. He says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them, and the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. People talk about what they love. Some people love to hate. Amen. That was on a t-shirt back when I was a boy. Love to hate J.R. J.R. Ewing, the man you love to hate. Well, that's what them television soap operas were made for, is to stir up envy and strife and jealousy and all such things as that. Now people don't wear it on their shirt as a joke or a jest. They give an end to those things. Not that they weren't talking that way in the 70s or the 60s or the 50s, but we sure have come a long ways from there. There was a lot more discretion then, and there was a lot more modesty in what you would say out loud. But your television shows and Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and George Carlin helped you out with that. Them comic shows became popular for a reason. And that is that laughter will help you accept something that you normally wouldn't accept. Well, for as long as you can laugh at it, it's okay. Well, that's disseminated now into every aspect of our conversation. When I was a boy, I think I heard one of my grandmothers one time cuss a little cuss word. You say a little or a big. You know, Brother Mike, I'm so holy that I don't believe there are any little or big cuss words. Don't get too close to me, amen. I don't need all that. I don't need that kind of exposure to that kind of holiness and righteousness. But at any rate, you'll understand what I'm talking about when I say something happened, and I don't remember the exact occasion, but I do remember being astonished that I heard a little curse word come out of my grandmother's mouth. I'm not saying that all these old timers were perfect and they did everything right. It's just people had enough modesty and enough good decision making to discretion to watch what they said in the right place, amen. Especially around somebody you might influence to to go the wrong way or say the wrong thing. But he says this, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. When you get that frowardness, that lack of respect for authority or lack of care about authority or the lack of care about your influence, then those words begin to be more evident. Well, let's boil it all down to one lesson. When you run into somebody who has no care and concern about their mouth and what's coming out of their mouth, you understand that the problem is down deep in their heart. You know who you're dealing with at that point in time. Well, he's a good old boy, except he lets his mouth go. Or he's a good old boy, except he indulges in this or that. Well, no, that's not a good old boy. He is who he is. Amen. That's just plain talking. It's plain truth. But I would watch it if I was you, because a lot of times you put up with people. Don't you have somebody that you put up with, relative or something like that? And you put up with him. You say, well, he's a good old boy except for this. No, I think he's a bad old boy or a bad old girl, except for but in one case you got somebody that wants to say something but has enough modesty not to say it, or has enough discretion not to say it. In one place you have a fellow that's just plain out wicked, and he's been pretending to be good or pretending to be. He's probably putting on air so you'll loan him $20 or something like that. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, but that is the case. That is the case. You got folks in this town right here that won't talk to a preacher or even think about a preacher, but light bill comes due. Hey, preacher. Yeah. And I love the Lord. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. He said, I can't remember exactly what he said. Something about him and the Lord being having an understanding or something like that. No, sir, you ain't got no understanding. I don't know if I've used the terminology the good Lord more than 10 times in my whole life. And I can see maybe there might be some context in which to use it. But most of the time, when you got a fella half drunk and he's talking about him and the good Lord, he don't know who the Lord is. So why don't they say Jesus Christ? Because that bothered their conscience if they did. And not only that, but the Bible says not to take the name of the Lord in vain. That means take it for no purpose. So you've been watching television so long, you think taking the name of the Lord in vain means to say the word God and damn together in a sentence. That is not taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's taking the Lord and cursing at the same time. Yeah. The process of taking the Lord's name in vain is dropping a brick on your toe and saying, oh God. You didn't call out for him to heal your toe. You called out his name because that just, oh, see, no, sir, that's not right. Vain means for no reason or for no purpose. You're not talking to him, you're just using his name. Jesus Christ. Sir, we've come up short in our earnings this week. Jesus Christ. Well, just a curse word. Your mama wash your mouth out with soap, so you say Jiminy Cricket the next time. Watch it and see. If that your mama wash your mouth out for using the name of the Lord in vain, you say gosh the next time. Oh, gosh. That's right. Well, you watch what you're listening to, and you'll see this stuff for yourself. You know, fellow drives up half drunk and trying to catch a fish or two, and the next thing you know, you want to listen to this? I don't know what's wrong with a man of full age that rides up and introduces himself to a man, and you think he's back in the seventh grade. You want to hear this song? No, I don't want to hear this. So are you going to make me a mixtape? That's a little childish, ain't it? Well, hey, would you like to hear this song? No, man, I got out of the seventh grade, a long time ago. and on and on and on, and foul mouth this and foul mouth that. Hey, you want to hear this song? I said, well, no, you know, see, I don't listen to that no more. I'm a Baptist preacher and saved by the grace of God. And, oh, well, me and the good Lord's got an understanding. I ain't No. You say, what's happened? The neon light's already come on. I've already seen who you are. You say, why? The words of the wicked, that identifies you. Verse number 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Now this verse 8 goes very well with verse 6, but it says a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. You ever heard anybody say, it ain't none of your business what I do? Well, I've got news for you. It's stamped black words on white paper in the Word of God that your life and your actions and your activities is going to be judged by somebody, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to be right. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. If you're a fool, people are going to look at you like a fool. If you get dressed up all in black and put black makeup on your face, and you're a boy and black fingernails, paint on your fingernails, and you run around town, people are going to look at you and call you weird, and call you a rebel, and call you a dissident from society, and they're going to shun you, and they're not going to hire you when you come try to get a job, and they're not going to trust you because you are weird. And don't have any wisdom. You don't have any understanding. It's not a 50-year-old's job to understand you as a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old or as a 25-year-old rebel or as a 35-year-old boy living in your mama's basement. Amen? Sneaking around in your little deviousness. It's not anybody's. It's your job to grow up. It's your job to conform. Well, I ain't going to do that. We know. We already know that. You have to trust me. I don't have to do nothing. I have to correct you. That's the attitude some of you grandmothers and daddies and mamas need to take. It's not my job to understand you. It's my job to correct you. Amen. Because as soon as I turn you, once you hit 40 and you move out of my house, you're going to have to get a job or something. Amen. And I'm talking to this new generation that thinks they're going to, even the health care system set up for it. Oh, you mama got to keep you on your insurance till you're like 40 or whatever that craziness is. Amen. No, I fully understand. If my girls want to live with me for the rest of their life, that's okay with me. That's perfectly fine with me. Amen. But a man's supposed to be something. Amen. He's supposed to be making a home in the world for somebody else. Man, you know, them girls got more character than some of the boys. Now, they go out and make something out of themselves and get busy and do all these things. And a fella just wants to stay home with his mama's fried chicken and biscuits, which I don't much blame him for that. The fried chicken might be good, but everybody in the neighborhood's talking about you. Amen. You deserve it. Amen. That's the way I feel about that. If you don't like it, I'll be praying for you. Amen. It says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. And people got a right to think that way of you. It is judgmental. And it's because people got sense. I mean, it's not racist. It has nothing to do with racism. It's not bigotry. It's wisdom. We got to watch out for this fellow right here. The natural scheme of things is for a man to dominate his environment, overcome, achieve, search out and set out some purpose in his heart that he can overcome. God put that in man when he first made him. He said, hey, here's this big old garden, subdue it. He didn't say tinker with it and use it as a hobby. And he said, no, sir, get your axe out and you you saw and jump over there on it and subdue it. I don't know if you know what that means in the Greek, but in the Greek that means whoop up on it. Amen. Subdue it. It didn't say whoop up on your wife, pipsqueak. Amen. A lot of fellas wouldn't beat on their wives and beat on their kids in an abusive way if they was beating up on this world. Go to work and your boss says something you don't like and you ain't man enough to speak back to him in a manly and a direct way. Of course, if you did that, you'd end up fighting because you're an extremist. You ain't got to jump down a man's throat to tell him what you think. But you can tell him what you think, but you ain't going to do that. I don't agree with that. All your friends hate your Savior and hate your church and hate stuff like that, and they say something about it, and you ain't man enough to say something about that, so you can go home and beat your wife up over it. You think that don't happen? You think that ain't the reason for a lot of stuff? The abuse that goes on in homes is because man ain't got the nerve or the wherewithal to stand up for himself out there. Here's this weak woman at home. Go beat on her. You ain't no man. If you'd learn to subdue the world, you'd have also learned to subdue your home. Did you know your home had to be subdued? Got to turn around once in a while and say, no. Well, now, I lived with the, I don't know, must have been the oracle of the ages. But as much as I think that my mother was too hard and my brothers thought my mother was too hard, it just seemed to be right. It just seemed to turn out right and seemed to make a point. In a way, my mother made a point in a way that just ended the argument and made you face what was going on right down here. When she came to the place, I can remember it very clearly. I remember very clearly coming home one day from school and learning this situation, how it had all went down. And it went down like this. My mother caught my big brother smoking cigarettes. And she sat there and, you know, gave him the speech and all this, and the next thing he said was, well, I'm 14, I'm going to do what I want to do. And, that 14-year-old ignorance come out in him. And my mother discerned from that. She said, you're probably doing drugs too. Now, I don't know kind of how that went and the exact words that she used, but somehow she come from cigarettes and a rebellious attitude to, you're probably doing drugs too. Well, it comes out I'm smoking a little bit of pot. Not I myself, smoking a little pot, and you know, just, well, everybody does that. Well, you would think, well, my mother's going to go and sit down and put her head in her hands and cry and weep and moan over this stuff. She just simply said, pack your bags and get out. Pack your bags. Oh, now you just don't understand what's going on in the heart. No, she understood. She had two more little boys.
That's right.
Neither of which ever smoked a joint. Well, there's the experimental and stuff like that. Neither one of us got hooked on any drugs. He said, well, you drank a lot of beer. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this particular situation. And so she saw the disobedience and the rebellion, and she saw that there was something behind that. And once she flushed that out, said, you're going to do what you want to do, get out.
Amen.
And you know what he's done since then? See, that had to be 1984, right in about there. If he was 14, he was 14. So that's even further back than that, late 70s. So I was 14 in 1984. So that was back before that at some point. So you know what he's done since then? Let's just pretend it was 78 or 79 or whatever it was. You know what he's done since then? Exactly what he wanted to. It ain't always been a bed of roses. None of our life is a bed of roses.
Yeah.
But the way of the transgressor is hard, and that's always going to be true. Amen. And just that one example cured me and my younger brother of trying to force our way on her. Amen. You going to do your own thing? Get out. Big enough to make your own decisions? There's a whole big world. Go make them. You don't have to stick around and be mad about mama's way of doing things or daddy's way of doing things. But it's not easy out there. It ain't easy on your mom and daddy out there. It certainly ain't going to be easy on you. Well, some uncle or aunt take him in. Probably the one that gave him the whatever alcohol or cigarette. Probably the same one that gave him the booze or the meth or the... That's probably the one to take him in. And once they do, you walk over there and punch your brother or your whoever it is, aunt, uncle, whatever it is that takes him in, punch him in the eyeball. And you say, why? Just on principle. Then probably punch yourself too, because you probably had a hand in some of that yourself too. Amen. There's enough blame to go around this world. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about this morning, a man should be commended according to his wisdom. So you don't have the right to travel through this life without being judged. And not only that, but the great thing about this topic here is the Lord said, if you judge yourself, you'd not be judged. Self-judgment. We don't talk too much about self-esteem here because we believe in Christ's esteem. Every one of us, as good as we are, or as well as we're trained, we've still got faults and failures. So I don't want to magnify my faults and failures in my life. I don't want to be who I am, because who I am is faulty. So I want to be something that God wants me to be, and use the Bible to instruct my life and correct my life and edify, which means to build, edifice. That's the front of this building, the structure of the building, the shape, the form of it. Well, edifice, that's edify. I want to be built up. I want to be instructed. I want to be more tomorrow than I am today. And in its own way, I may not have the wisdom of Daniel or the wisdom of Job, but just the desire to be instructed and built up in God's Word is a type of wisdom in and of itself. Submissiveness is a type of wisdom in and of itself. And so he says a man should be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Whatever road or route or way or course that I choose in this world is going to, it's not only going to mark me for who I am, but if I choose one unwise course today, as long as I stay on that course, there are 10 other unwise courses that's marked out for me that I have no choice about. So you think you're going to make a bad choice and then you're going to continue to make choices the rest of your life. No, you're going to make a choice and then you're going to take what's on the road. You can't decide to drive down Elm Street and be mad at that it's got potholes at the same time. You chose to drive down that street. We said, well, I didn't know there was any potholes in this. The city has not maintained this road, and they got all these potholes here, and it's going to destroy my car. Well, then stop before you hit the first one, turn around, go back the other way. Well, it's just more convenient for me to go this way. Well, tear up your car then. So you 12 years old and you think you know more than your daddy, and you turn and go down the way you want to go, and you think you're going to do what you want to the rest of your life. No, you're going to do what that road prescribes for you to do. When that road says turn right, you're going to turn right. When you come to a split in the road, you're going to have to choose one of those roads, but both of them is going to be bad. It's on the wrong road. That's all there is to that. And every day you travel on that road, somebody's going to be out there looking and say, look at the fools go by. People know which road the fools travel on. Look, we've already read it in our short time in the book of Proverbs. Short time, this is 51, right? In our short time in the book of Proverbs, we've seen that. Somebody sitting out the window, somebody sitting looking out the window and watching the fools go by, and he's going down to this, he's going down to the house of death, he's going here. People are watching. People are judging. People see what's going on in your life. The problem is you don't see it. That's the fact that you don't see it is what makes you the fool. All right, let's go back to verse 7 because I put verse 6 with verse 8 because it went so well together. We've got to cover verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are not. That's why the Bible uses this illustration that I'm giving you. The Lord Jesus Christ used it. He says there's a lot of people on this road right here, and at the end of it is destruction. Anybody remember that little discourse? He said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's exactly what he said. So, well, they'll stop at the end. They might, if they get rescued from it by the Lord. Otherwise, they're just going to take the consequences of the road they're on. So the wicked are overthrown. That's the destruction. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. I've been trying to use these proverbs at face value for the most part, but I will turn look in the book of Psalms this time, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Get yourself a Bible. And then get yourself a preacher. And hopefully that preacher has him a preacher. But get yourself a Bible and get yourself a preacher, because we're not smart enough to walk in this earth by ourselves. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And be careful who you hang around. Be careful who you influence. No matter what you see on television, make sure it's not your influence. That stuff on television is not for entertainment, first of all. First of all, it's to sell you stuff. Amen. I used to fall in line with the rest of the preachers, and I don't have any regrets about this at all, but it was all about Facebook and social media is of the devil and this, that, and very well may be. But I told you how I feel about that. I think you're going to find devilment wherever you're looking for it. So I come to some conclusions on that. And then now after fooling with it for a little while, I really don't see no need for Facebook, because you know, if I had a business or something like that, I'd jump right on Facebook. Brother Spike got new business over there. You say why? Because all that stuff just for advertisement. It's just a big advertisement. All this social media, I'm finding out, just an advertisement. Get a bunch of people on there, and you post your picture. So now you get on Instagram, look, this picture one, this picture two, this picture three. What's number four? An advertisement. Free advertisement for all these companies, and you just get to put your pictures on there. That company, Instagram and Facebook's making billions of dollars. Say so it's free. It's not free. Television, get on there. We got this TV, the signal comes in, don't got to pay nothing for it. But yeah, those soap commercials and stuff, all this stuff, it's primarily just, you know, television, Facebook and Instagram, all these things are just a secondary form of television, radio. Ain't it good to get on here the oldies? You hear three oldies or two bluegrass songs, or I don't know what you listen to, Hank Williams and Merle, I don't know what you're listening to, but after they play you 6 minutes worth of music, they play you 20 minutes worth of commercials. I'm sorry we got to do this, folks, but this is, you know, we've got to do this to stay on there. They're not on there to play the music. They're on there to play the advertisement. If it was just the music, let me ask you to do a test. Buy yourself about $10 million worth of broadcasting equipment and start your own radio program. And start the radio program that you yourself have always wanted. That is radio entertainment with no commercials. And you'll be out of business before you start. Because you don't use radio to play music. You use radio to sell ads so companies can get in your ear. And that's all it's about. How are we going to keep people listening to this radio station so they can hear these ads so we can continue to make money? Well, we'll play 6 minutes worth of music, and then we'll play 12 minutes worth of commercials and we'll make money. Amen. So when I say be careful what kind of company you keep, you got to first of all adjust what that. So let me make that a little bit clearer. The purpose of radio and television and social media, anything that comes from an outward point and comes into your ear with a lean toward advertising, is put there just to influence you. That's all that it is. If they put on a product and they've spent billions of dollars to put out this product and you don't like that product, they'll make a song about why that product is good so that by the time you listen to it for 3 weeks, you'll go out and try that product anyway. Amen? That's the way that it works. Well, we've always made our soap out of lye, and we're just old-fashioned country people, and we're not going to, you know, we wash our clothes once, and that lasts a month because our soap is so good, and we're not going to try your synthetic stuff, and we're just good old country people. Well, look here at this television show about these country bumpkins that moved off to California, and ain't they so funny? And every commercial that comes on is Irish Spring and Fab and I'm glad that lemon flesh, fresh and Clorox in you. You hear that for about 6 months and you'll be buying what they want you to buy to begin with. That's the way it works. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to see another example of that? What red-blooded man doesn't like bravado? So you say, well, we ain't having that in our society. No, sir, we ain't going to go that way. Man ought to be a man. The woman ought to be a woman. So you take some big strapping fella and put a six gun on his side and put his hat on a little bit crooked and then put him on television. Everybody admires him for all the wonderful things that he does. And 6 months later, you find out he's a homosexual. Right? Well, we got to get all these little girls out of church, but they love their daddies, and they go into church with their daddies, and they want to be good girls and good boys for their daddies. How in the world are we going to do this? Well, we take a little girl out of the Mickey Mouse Club, teach her how to sing, let her get up about 18 and 19 years old and put her on the stage and nice and respectful and sings wonderful songs, and then next year we'll take her out of that, you know, regular clothing and put a knee-length dress on her and tight clothing, and then the year after that we'll hike that dress up a little bit more and put a little bit more makeup on, and by the time you get 3 or 4 years into her career, then she's done took about 70 or 80,000 young girls with her that was good girls and dressed right and dressed modest. Now they dress like her. Advertisement. Influence. And when they get done with her, and when she goes into rehab, oh, let's introduce you to this little girl. She come right out of the Mickey Mouse Club and she's so wonderful. They'll give you another one, do the process over again. Do the process over again. They do that same thing all over the, you say, well, there are some good programs. They're doing that all over the spectrum of media. They'll get listen, folks. This country right here that we live in has been under the thumb of liberal media since at least the 1920s, and it's been further than that. It was newspapers before, so you couldn't reach such a large audience. The newspapers are losing money because television and radio come in. You understand that? But look what happens here. You've got the liberal media that's been in control of thought for the last 50 years, and it's the exact time before or after. I'm not going to go into that. But let's just say for the last 50 years, the liberal media's had you, well, you shouldn't vote for Reagan. You should vote for Carter, and you should vote for this, and you should vote for that, and all this stuff. And at some point when that stuff starts falling apart, and there has to be an answer, so people start saying, this ain't working. this is not working. This is falling apart. So what you do is, one of the most liberal corporations in the United States put out a new and a wonderful conservative news outlet. And millions and millions and millions and millions of people. But we're not gonna be one-sided like those liberal outlets. We're gonna be fair and balanced. So we're gonna take a conservative news anchor and we're gonna put him beside a liberal news anchor, and he's gonna make his point, and then he's gonna make his point. Listen, you weren't watching ABC. You weren't watching CBS. You weren't watching MSNBC. So now they'll give you the conservative media that you wanted to hear, so that they can let him talk, and then they'll let this other guy talk. And it's not going to get all of you, but he's going to get half of you, while none of you was listening before.
Right. Yeah.
And then 10 years into wonderful conservative, they said, "I wonder if Shepard Smith was in the closet." So, never. I wonder if Shepard Smith come out of the closet. He said, "I was never in the closet."
Yeah.
Well, there are some conservative. No. There are no. Listen, you cannot be homosexual and conservative at the same time. You can be homosexual and lie to people to make them think that you're just like them. And you've got to have some kind of agency or medium to do that with. And that's what Fox News is. There are some conservative people with enough brains that they'll be able to say, "Now that's foolish and that's not. That's right and that's wrong." But there are a ton of high school kids that don't know their head from a hole in the ground. And they'll say, "Well, that's a very good point." They'll follow right on. And that's where the battle's not won on ABC or NBC or CBS. The battle's won right down here in this little brick schoolhouse, where you go to church one day a week. Most of you go to church one day a week. And the little preacher says, "Now God is right and God is good." And then you go 5 days down to the little schoolhouse where they say there ain't no such thing as God, and you ought to be thinking bad about Donald Trump, and you ought to be thinking good about this one. You ought to be thinking bad about that one. And they got your kid more than you do.
Right.
How in the world can Stacey Abrams almost win the governor in Georgia? How can this liberal almost win down here in Florida? How can that be? Well, we're almost there. If all Southern white men are racist, how are these people getting close to winning? Because they're not racist. So they say, "Well, these uneducated racists." They are uneducated, but they're not racist. You say, "What is it?" Council of the Ungodly. It's in your high schools. I believe with all my heart they ought to shut down the news media. If you want to give me the news, write it down on a piece of paper and I'll decide if I want to buy it or not.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So shut down the news media. Well, the news media constantly, 24 hours a day, gun control, gun control, gun control. Well, I think every preacher in America ought to be talking about to his congregation media control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two-way street, isn't it? But preachers ain't going to fight back. They're trying to figure out how to get enough people in the congregation that they can make another paycheck for the next week.
Yeah.
I've got to speak in a way that these people will come back next week and they'll bring more people with them. To heck with wisdom, or, "Oh, Brother Mike, I don't think you should say to heck with in the pulpit." "What are you watching? What are you doing? Oh, my kids are..." You're influencing my kids. What do you think they're watching all week?
Amen.
Well, what do you think they're hearing in high school or the day school down here? Man, don't give me that. The false piety is not going to go very far from this point on. But anyway, what I'm trying to get across to you is the battle, that battle's being won in the high school down there.
Yeah.
So I say control the media and the bad thing about that is the wrong person getting control. control of it. But what I'm trying to say is control that mess, and then down at the schoolhouse, make them throw out everything they can't prove by demonstrating it. That'll take care of a lot of stuff. Well, it costs so much to have schools, and we need more property tax because it costs so much. Well, listen, what you should be teaching them, you could be done with that by lunchtime. There's just a lot of stuff that they require you to teach them that just ain't required for living. I believe that with all my heart. A lot of that stuff down there is just indoctrination. Yeah. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We say, what are we talking about here, Brother Mike? Let me go back and remind you. I'm about to run out of time, so I need to remind you so you can look at this stuff during the week. I know you go home and pour through the pages of the Scripture on a daily and weekly basis, so let me give you some thoughts to think about this week. He says, chapter 12 and verse number 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. What we're talking about is endurance, long-lasting. Don't we want a long-lasting home? Want my home to last forever, don't you, Brother John? Amen. Don't you, Brother Pedro, want your house to last forever? Well, this is the way to do it. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this the man that follows these things in verse 1 and 2 will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He says he'll have his fruit and he'll have his leaf, but verse number 4 says the same things it said in Proverbs. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We're talking about the young man that chooses his own path and does his own thing. Well, that's all well and good and fine and fun while you're doing what you want to do, but the first wind that comes by, you're going to be driven away. You're not going to last. It's not going to last. Ask the prodigal son how long his liberty and freedom and ability to do his own thing and make his own decisions, ask him how long that lasts. Didn't last long. Didn't last long. Come out at the wrong place and it didn't last long. Amen. Well, I'm kind of dissatisfied that I only covered three verses. I was hoping to get down through the chapter a little bit better. I am just a long-winded individual. That's all there is to it. But there's lots of stuff contained in these scriptures, and I may not ever get the opportunity to teach the book of Proverbs again, so we'll say what needs to be said the first time through. Amen. All right. Good to see you, Sister Betty. We've been praying for you. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for a wonderful day to come out and, Lord, preach the gospel and not